March 25th, 2003, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, March 25, 2003 edition, 1 week till tour. Hey, Brother Matt.
How's it? Countdown.
We got some visitors.
Yeah, full house.
Full house. We just had Prack. We went and showed Paul. When I say we, I mean me and the second man, Pete Mazich and Jerry Trebetich. Just played some songs for Paul at Prack. Paul Rossler. Say hi.
Hey.
Don't be afraid, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, we really are.
And we got a week to go. Start off with John Coltrane with the alternate take of Sunstar off of Stellar Regions.
And Ghost on Fire.
And, something from me with Talia and Thurston. Not that we haven't had DJ Talia in a while, but we've got her here singing. And Thurston played guitar. It was a trippy thing where this cat in upstate New York sent me a title of a song, and he said, write one. So I did. That's it. Studio Thunderpants, my little thing here in Pedro, on my Mac and my pad. I guess Pete's going to get one, right?
Yeah. Can't wait.
Pete's got a Mac coming. Yeah. Maybe before tour.
I hope I get him before tour.
The digital world.
It's a lap. Well, and also so he can do diary.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did I explain this? Pete's only going to do the first 6 weeks of this next tour, and then Paul's going to take over for the last 2 weeks. That's one reason why we played some of the songs for him tonight. So, Paul, what happens on tour is, like, we do diaries.
Oh.
So Pete can write diary on his... I mean, he can use my Barbie purse if he don't get it in time. It's supposed to come, what, the day before?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Maybe.
That's what they said.
But when he's home, he'll have it with the studio thing, too, so... Because his wife, Liliana, is a singer.
Yeah.
She wants to record also. She was a big pop singer in Croatia. Mm-hmm. Yugoslavia. Old Yugoslavia. So they, you know. Now, the machinery is econo enough where you can, like, do studios in your pad.
Everybody is free to make their own thing.
Yeah, not so beholden, huh?
Yep.
To the old ways of doing things. Turn your mics up so you guys can be heard. And the old days, right? You got a recording advance. That's what all these studios were built on. And now what do people do? They take their studio, their recording advance, and they buy home studios.
Bad time to be in a studio.
So the studio business is really bad.
I'm in that business.
With Geza up on the, in Malibu, right?
Yeah.
Now, myself and Second Man, it's an organ-based drum trio. But actually, my first keyboard band was with you, Paul, right? Criminy.
Oh,
we played some Criminy the other week, didn't
we? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, this is, we're going back 17 years, right? 87 or something?
Yeah, even
16,
more.
16.
Something like that. 15 years? Good times.
Yeah, 15, 16 years.
Yeah,
I think that first single was in 87. And then we made a 5-song when, like, in 88, 89 or something.
Maybe even earlier. Maybe even 85, 86.
That single. Could have been 85. Because D Boone was still here.
Because
Criminy was after D Boone.
Yeah. We started playing together pretty close after that, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
But some. Sometime in 86, I think. What are you guys doing?
Just playing with the...
He's putting this massager thing
brain
on my
massager
head.
On his head here.
But, you know.
Well, why don't you wait till we're doing a song?
Yeah.
Why don't you, like, engage us with your powerful IQ?
I got a box of those Comedy 45 with me in the garage with those records.
Wow.
He bought them all.
No. We
Snake
could,
Snake Man got them.
I'm proud of that single.
Yeah, and I could sell them on tour easy.
Yeah.
People ask me about that record all the time.
So
anyway, Paul played keyboard. He didn't have an organ like you. He had a... What'd you use?
Well,
was it DX7?
We used to do it on piano, and that was cool. But
yeah.
When we would play live, I'd try to do it with the DX7, and it was sort of brutal. But the piano...
No, but one of the songs is piano. with the organ overdub, but one's all organ.
The Reverence.
Yeah. Maybe that's a synthesizer.
So did you use B3 or did or
no, it was just organ from the DX7.
See, I told you, DX7.
Yeah, it was pretty. But I try to treat the DX7 like it was a Stratocaster, you know? It's like I try to run it through things and something to it.
In some way, it's become an instrument, a classic instrument in its own right. I just wasn't a huge DX. I was a D50.
Oh, I hated it.
Roland D50 one.
I hated it. That's why I tortured it and put it through amps and boxes.
But they're ubiquitous, right? They were everywhere for a time.
Well, yeah, everybody used them. They were like the, you know, like the
they didn't use real samples, right? FMers.
No, they were some weird algorithm synthesis. That, but I found a way to like that thing if you just distort the crap out of it and just treat it really mean and don't treat it like a keyboard. You know, you can hit it.
I don't know. The organ on Reverence sounded
pretty. It had a few okay.
Sounded like, it don't sound like Pete's Hammond.
That.
But it ain't that. It ain't his toy. It's not a Farfisa.
It doesn't Bogart the whole van either, though.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But I don't know, man. In a way, I'd rather almost have. Yeah. It doesn't Bogart the whole van, but Bogart's a good deal of it.
Yeah. I don't think it's the size. It's the weight.
No, it's just the size.
Everything fits.
It's incredibly long.
But having to carry that thing.
It's incredibly long. Yeah. And then the speaker box is pretty huge,
I've
too.
I've carried it by myself for the last 20 years.
Yeah, they take
never
man,
had a problem
that's
with
the difference.
It.
They take up a lot. It takes up volume.
Look at you, man.
I'm buff.
You look like
muscles.
Lou Ferrigno over here.
It's got to be 200. Easy 200 pounds.
I can't
wait.
Yeah,
it's over. It's a little over 200 pounds.
And I got to just sling that under my arm.
And I chopped it.
We do it like, yeah.
After I chopped it.
He's got the real one, but he won't bring it. He's got two, actually, right? One's chopped, but you don't think the other one can fit in the door.
No. Well, it I don't think it'd fit in the door of the studio.
That's
it'll fit, it'll fit in standard size.
I like the way musicians, you know, they rehearse in studios, you know.
Well, the roadies will be carrying. The roadies will carry the B3, right?
The carpet
they'll
cave.
Practice in the like
the carpet cave, the shithole
no,
we
they're
practice.
They're not practicing in the like the stall that's been walled off and that shitter's pulled out. No, they're rehearsing in the studio.
In the studio.
You guys do practice in an outhouse, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, it was the officer's latrine, and I pulled out the shitters. Okay. Yeah, it was officer's latrine because it had more than shitters. It had pissers, it had sinks, it had showers, so it wasn't like a porta potty. It had the whole deal, what officers do in the morning after they're fucking each other. This is before women were in.
Okay. It was a much nicer,
yeah,
men were all
more,
happy.
Much
nicer
yeah,
military.
Much more thorough and consistent kind of fucking. So anyway, what I did was I took out all the shitters. I left one in the corner, and I put in a wall and a door, and that became the practice pad. I put up the wall. You had to put up the rug, you know, not just to quiet the room, but it's all asbestos. Crazy to have me.
So the rug takes care of that, right?
Well, it just keeps it off.
So we're like framing up there. And
the paint does, too, but I mean, that's our whole place is, you know, it was built in the 20s when...
Wow.
People were
there's,
ridiculous.
There's a boiler in the back that looks like a big marshmallow, just covered in thick asbestos. I think they might have cleaned it, but
and you step outside, yeah. And there's the harbor. It's beautiful.
Yeah, is yeah. Nice. But the place was built a long time ago, so there's some stuff that's kind of
what's your
nasty
there,
and stuff. And yeah, well, you know, I've been there 17 years and it hasn't gone up. Got good security. Don't have to pay for power. I don't have to move my equipment in and out like a usual practice kind of arrangement, so I think it's been very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, it was always a big ordeal for me and D. Boone as young guys.
Rent rehearsal space.
Well, not so much of that. We'd have to find a practice pad somewhere. It was never ours. So it was, because we always lived in apartments, so it was always an ordeal with the drummers. The loud bam bam stuff. So that's one reason why we played with George Hurley. He had a shed in the back. House, so yeah, we never really had to rent. I think we did for a couple of years with Secret Hate. We went in and a band called Outer Circle or something, a new wave band. Were they called Outer Circle? You guys know?
New
Too
wave.
Young. Do you remember these guys?
The name sounds.
I think
weird.
Some of them were from the Hill.
Maybe I'm thinking Vicious.
But anyway, we shared this stuff with them. Thing. So that was the only time where we. And then it was always ours. What it was some, like, space, so we could always keep the gear in there. this thing where the bands have to bring their stuff in every time and out. Yeah, what a nightmare. I really feel fortunate didn't have to do that.
Yep. $12 an hour and a half hour.
Well, except for the Thunder Road that you got going in front of it. You know, the crunchy cement stuff.
No, yeah, because of earthquakes, and it's an older pad, the sidewalk's all cracked up, so sometimes it's hard to move the equipment. So.
Oh, he's thinking of when you move an MP3.
Yeah, well, and my speaker boxes,
too.
My bass boxes.
You get the B3 in that room? No.
Yeah, we always practice it. We've only not had it this whole time. This is the second day. See, Paul came into practice and he saw this little rinky-dink synthesizer.
The kludge.
Yeah, the kludge. Proxy.
Proxy kludge.
Proxy kludge.
So.
Get that off the hoop, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Paul saw this little toy thing, and it's not usually that way. Usually we have this big organ, Bogart in half the room.
Yeah.
No, not really, because the door's there. And the Leslie actually was still there. He's just not... yeah, you were using it.
Yeah, he was using it.
Yeah,
which one?
Using
the Leslie.
Oh, on the tour?
No, in the prac.
Oh yeah, always have the Leslie.
Sounded bad.
It's even worse.
Not always, because
it's much worse without the Leslie.
Yeah, we've gone straight into the PA.
Wow. That's what I'm thinking. This is never going
to
work.
It's total toy. Well, for prac.
We suck.
No, for prac.
Well, when we were pracking before last tour, it was like it was horrible. It got so bad that it was like, you know, I had to bring Leslie because it was just
the tone,
you know, for somebody that's used to playing Hammond all the time. It's like it's horrible.
The
for anybody who doesn't know what a Leslie is, it's this incredible speaker that actually physically spins around inside the box.
Well, part of it,
yeah.
The drum.
It also has a bass one too that just puts out.
Well, the bass faces down onto it. Drum
a
scoop
foam
it.
A foam drum.
Well,
and it's that classic Stepping Wolf sound.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all kinds of people sound.
Yeah,
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Booker T.
Yeah.
Booker T, yeah.
There's all kinds of classic sounds out of that. Even Deep Purple, I guess. Though he didn't use a Leslie.
Well, he used Leslie later on, but he was like...
No, he was a Marshall man.
He was Marshall staff.
Emerson, Lake, and Purple.
Yeah, they used Leslie's.
Yeah.
He used all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I think he was... I think the organ band was the nice. I think...
Yeah, that was the
when
big
it got into Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, there was a lot more synthesizers.
Argent, too.
Yeah. Argent.
No, he was an organ player.
Allman Brothers.
Atomic Rooster. Argent's like a one-hit wonder.
Greg Whip and Post.
Yeah.
Greg Argent? No, he was... Rick Argent was in the Zombies.
Zombies.
He had a bunch of hits.
Hold Your Head Up.
Yeah, when he was solo, but he had She's Not There. And
that's,
kind
that was Argent.
Yeah,
what was his name? Colin, who was the singer?
I don't know. Rod Argent.
Yeah, he had that trippy voice. Colin, I saw them do a reunion. It was terrible.
Well, they had broken up after the album hit. I mean, the album hit, actually. They were broken up.
I just remember I'm on...
No, I'm talking about like two or three years ago.
Oh, wow.
He used to tape them here at the Long Beach Auditorium.
Yeah. Real groundbreaker.
Who?
Don Kirshner and his...
Don Kirshner invented the Monkees.
Midnight Special. But that was TV. The only time you could see a rock and roll show, like an hour late night, and they had a lot of different bands.
I don't know. ABC had a show called In Concert.
In Concert.
Yeah. I don't think Don Kirshner was the only one.
Well, it was Midnight Special.
Midnight Special.
Midnight Special.
And then there was King Biscuit.
But there was stuff...
That was radio.
There was stuff before that, though. There was this... they do stuff on the beach. What was that thing? Hubba Baloo?
Oh, yeah.
Shindig? Hayride? Or some crap?
Yeah,
I saw Pink Floyd on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Remember the Alex Harvey band?
But he wasn't really... They weren't really playing. They were lip-syncing. In fact, he wasn't even lip-syncing. He's out of his head.
Did you ever hear... Did you ever hear of this show Groovy that they used to film on the beach?
Yeah, Groovy was one of them.
I never saw that, but I just met the guy. I just met
Groovy,
the guy.
Groovy, Hubba Baloo,
kind of
Shindig, Real Don Steele had a show, but it wasn't on the beach.
Or the Tammy show.
I think it was...
the UK show.
I think his show was at the Whiskey or Cazares.
Really?
Yeah, because he'd have Bobby Benton. Remember that? I mean, this is going back a ways.
Was
he was a big DJ on KHJ, a big AM, station.
Yeah.
That's when AM radio was.
Yeah,
so anyway, yeah, there was a lot of people playing organ then. Lee Michaels had a band that was just organ and drums.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
It's him and Frosty.
He's for a while here, he owned the Warner Theater.
I met his kid. His kids are
actually, he was buddies with Lil, too.
I think he's got a
Kevin Michaels.
He's got a business called Jumbo Shrimp or something.
Killer Shrimp.
Oh. Killer Shrimp.
Wasn't that Forrest Gump?
No, that was Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump.
This is Lee Michaels. Who had the song You Know What I Mean. I think he was living on the hill. He's got a weird disease where all his bones are fusing together.
Ow. Ooh. He was probably using his feet for the bass. Do you have bass pedals?
No, actually, he did it on his left hand.
Left hand?
Yeah.
That's the other thing you can do with the hammer.
God, I don't know. Was there bass to that song? It's like,
I know.
Yeah,
but a whole
but you know what? I tell you what, he did that. That was done on a theater organ at this cat's house in Hollywood.
That wasn't even
but I don't even think there's a left hand working that much.
Just going boom,
he's
boom,
just boxing
boom,
chords.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, but a whole set of that, he must have got some bass in there at some point.
Well, if you listen to Stormy Monday, that was basically his band. It was just Frosty and him live in the studio. And he was just, and he didn't use a B3, he used a BC.
Well, I got the single, and it just says Lee Michaels. Doesn't even say a band name.
No, it's because that's how he was signed. So it was just always Lee Michaels. But
on the album cover it said Frosty, and the guy had a big old fro, the drummer.
Man, big man.
And I remember seeing videos. You know, there was hardly any live stuff on TV. They always lip sync their single. And
Brownsville Station.
I think they were Ohio.
The room.
I think they're from Ohio though.
See,
they weren't from out here.
I don't
even think they had an organ.
Nope.
Brownsville.
Cub Coda. They were just a power trio.
Yeah, they played them.
They're kind of like a version of James Gang or something.
Well,
later
Little
on.
Rascals too. It's a big organ band. B3 organ. He kicked pedals.
Now see the Doors.
And no bass.
The Little Rascals.
No, the Rascals. Felix Cavalieri.
Yeah. The Doors didn't have the B3. They had that icky Farfisa sandwich. Always just bugged the crap out of me.
He played a lot of left hand.
Well, he played Rhodes piano bass.
Playing again, huh?
Oh my God!
Yeah, they are.
Who cares?
And I think the drummer's suing him.
Yeah,
he is.
John?
He is.
What
John
does Jim think about it?
I don't think Jim cares.
He might.
Jim cares. He's probably throwing the money.
He might be rolling.
You never. I think he's rolling.
He might be twirling in the box.
Twirling dervish.
He might be twirling and all upset.
Maybe he ran out of money and he wanted him to get back together.
He might be disgusted. So I don't know. I heard that he turned down a bunch of stuff, like car commercials for Light My Fire and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe he's... still is that way. I mean, if you listen to the drummer...
In Tahiti?
He thinks it's all a big bum rush by the organ player.
Somehow I believe it.
Well, yeah, I think it is. The way it sounds like it went down, it is.
21st Century Doors, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not
called
shoes.
The Doors anymore.
I could go out.
And then the Seeds, they were Oregon band.
Maybe I should get together a band called the New Screamers.
And,
don't worry, I won't.
There's a band called Thin Lizzy.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And that guy's been dead. He died when Dee Boone did. I can't imagine how they could be Thin Lizzy without him.
T-Rex, the new T-Rex.
I met his son. I saw his son play. His son's named Roland Bolin.
The new Elvis.
I have some T-Rex. We'll play it later. T-Rex was my first gig.
Really?
Play Jeepster for me. I like that.
I think I got more obscure stuff.
Play that too.
Yeah. Everybody's heard Jeepster. No, these are like it's an album of outtakes, Elizabeth said. It's none of his hits. Beard of Stars. You remember that record?
Yep.
Minutemen used to do a song off that.
Which one?
Prelude, the first song. That's when he didn't really have a whole band. He had just Mickey Finn playing clay tablets, and it was kind of like
Flower Child.
Venice Beach kind of thing. Perry Ferry, that cat on the skates.
Yes.
That's what it kind of sounds like.
Okay. Pre-cocaine influence, probably. Still on acid.
The story of Mark Bolin, from what I understand, was he was big with the mods when he was a teenager. He was into dressing up, and he was almost like a spokesman. I remember the kids that followed the Who around when they were first started. And then, he turned into this flower child kind of thing. And then from there went into like a band, got a band, and turned into a huge pop star in England, but it never really broke over here. It's
yeah,
part
it did.
Of
they,
Glitter.
It broke when Bowie did it, and he did it note for note.
Mark Bolan broke here?
No, I think that Bowie, when he did Ziggy Stardust, he was just like, okay, I'm going to be Mark Bolan now.
Yeah, and Lou Reed and Iggy Pop. He was stealing from a lot of people. Stealing
pretty,
a lot from Syd Barrett.
He's pretty upfront about it, I guess.
I think Syd Barrett was probably, for me, maybe the first English guy to say, yeah, I'm English. I'm not going to copy
American
so much U.S. blues thing. And, you know, sing like Anthony Newley, which Bowie ended up doing later on. But I was talking about Mark Bolan more.
Right.
He never really went over big.
No.
He had Cheekster and Bang-A-Gong.
That was
right?
his one
That's
big.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that was it. He tried. He was big for me. You know, I didn't care. If I like somebody, I like somebody. Even then. You know, I didn't really care. Glitter wasn't big for a while. I was probably even out of high school. Because when I was in high school, you couldn't really let people know you liked that.
No.
Question your sexuality.
We did. And they would throw their lunch at us.
And they were really... Then they all started getting into it a few years later, though, huh? It got so huge.
I don't know. I was gone by then. But when we were
yeah.
there, there was about six of us.
Bowie well, got big in this town. And so did Queen and all that. But never when I was in school, Roxy Music.
You know, Pat Smear used to wear like little glitter things, like
yeah.
a bare midriff and like a Cleopatra haircut, and he'd carry his books like a girl, like up against his chest, and he'd go running up to like the gangs, like the Sawtelle gangs, and he'd go, "Beat me up," and stuff, and they were just like, "Look at him," and I unbelievable. There was like five of us or six of us in old school, and I came after they did it like on their own first.
Was it uni?
Yeah, and brave. Brave. And then he was a Jesus freak. Anyway, back to Blair, I'm sorry.
Well, our school...
You have to be committed.
There must have been people like that. I can't remember any.
Yeah, you probably beat them up.
No, I was not into it, persecuting people in school, because I was
yeah.
pretty much one of the people persecuted. Not so much for music, because I kept it secret.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell people I like Kiss. Kiss started coming out when I was in school, and people couldn't tolerate that. Barely Blue Oyster Cult. That was kind of like nervy. Just the way things move, you know. The mob or the big middle, they're not sure of what they like. But then when it starts to move, they all move together.
Skinnerd.
Yeah, they were around. There was no Skinner yet.
Nugent, Bachman yeah. Turner Overdrive.
How did Queen slide
Turner by? Bachman Turner Overdrive was the guy from Guess
Absolutely.
Who.
Didn't Queen sort of slide
Canadian
by somehow?
They got really huge.
How? Didn't those guys...
But not at first.
Didn't those guys, like, singing Bohemian Rhapsody realize that...
No, not that. Like, they were opening up for bands, you know, and what worked for people in Pedro, I think, is if you could play really fast lead guitar.
Yeah,
it seemed all those bands.
Brian May
because Jimi Hendrix was always big in Pedro, I have to say.
Yeah.
They weren't that closed-minded where they
didn't
think Jimmy
universal.
Was big.
He transcended.
Yeah, but even a redneck kind of culture we had going, Jimmy could break through. So I think if you had a guy who could play guitar loud and fast,
that was the secret.
It would help get over all the girly stuff. And then once, of course, you know, this is... kind of after I went to high school, but once these guys saw that girls liked this music, then that's why they liked it too, and so they weren't afraid as being as girly, because they saw being girly was kind of a way that girls would like you, maybe, I don't know. Well, for sure individuality wasn't being celebrated.
It probably never still isn't.
Yeah. It shows to go you. Okay, so we had all these years of Glitter and glam, and then the punk rock and all this, and now all these boys with earrings and all this stuff. And are things any looser with alternative and this crud?
No, it's sort of hard to stay ahead of the curve, because every time something comes out, it's co-opted immediately on MTV. I would think rap and hip-hop would be where they find a more edgy vibe, at least at some point.
Rap metal?
Trance and...
You like rap metal?
I don't know. I'm old. I admit it.
You like rap metal?
what's it, System of a Down? It's sort of interesting. That goes over sort of big. That's pretty out there stuff, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? That's pretty mainstream, I guess.
Well, it was interesting when it first came out.
Yeah, can it be mainstream if it's out there?
That's the thing. It's like, comes out, it's interesting.
How sensitive if it's mainstream?
It's, how do you stay, I don't know.
And how can it be out there if it's mainstream? Because if it's the mainstream, what's wild compared to that?
Nothing. It's the same soup with more salt in it.
So what's the problem? I just took it as far as it could go.
I listen to
it. Get just only so girly.
Maybe they're afraid to take it there, or they won't get signed if it doesn't sound a certain way. Or
you can only get so gangsta.
So girly.
And they got as gangsta as they could pretty much get. They started killing each other. These are the mainstream, huge gangsta rap record. They're pretty out there. They're killing each other.
50 cents.
Well, I'm thinking back in when the wars were going on.
He's talking about
Ice Cube.
Now, I don't know.
He was talking about this.
Yeah, 50 cents.
Master J and stuff.
Yeah, that shit's still going on.
Yeah, so.
That's pretty out there.
So, being tough. But as an art form, is it that adventurous?
Oh, no. I trip on the sampling I hear sometimes. I'm like, it's that the way they just cut stuff together. I mean, to me, that's really. Because I grew up like with piano lessons, and I grew up pushing down the keys to make the sounds, and these guys were just, they never even thought about that. They just started cutting stuff up and putting this record against this record, and it's like
Brother
a whole...
Matt has a thing on my show here where he's going to do that.
I went and saw LL Cool J at the Long Beach Arena, and Houdini, and Run DMC, and there was a huge riot, and there was no band. There was just people with turntables. The first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that is completely a new world. I mean, this is still a long time ago. I mean, now what? What's out there?
Jim Messick's dead.
They never went on stage because it became an all-out, full-on riot. It made a black flag riot look like kindergarten. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well.
All the security guys just went, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
It's probably gang people.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Was that Long Beach Arena?
Yep.
That's where Louis got his leg broke, right?
Was that the Fresh Festival?
Louis Defoe got his leg
broke. Did he? I was with Rick. We had to climb all the way up to the top of the bleachers and then climb down the back of them.
So you think the music was doing that?
No, I think it was too many gang people in one place. And they ripped out the chairs and started beating the crap out of each other with it. With chairs. I think that there was East Side or West Side and...
Blood.
Yeah, I think it was just...
Name.
But the bands were from where? Back east?
Where's LL Cool J from? Yeah,
New York City.
It was East Coast.
Guys. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? I think things are pretty detached and abstract and bizarre. It's hard for me to find the connections. There's plenty of people... Right, we're at war right now. There's people killing who listen to country western. I mean,
yeah. Maybe music too.
What about country western nowadays?
Well,
I don't know.
It's going to pop rock.
It's
turning
pop
rock.
The pop music of the day.
Maybe music isn't such a cultural turning point anymore. Maybe it just it doesn't matter. Maybe it's what video game you play is more important.
Well, it's like you told me one time. There's only so many chords and there's only so many notes.
But somehow they keep coming up with new things.
They keep coming up with new things and.
Pro Tools. The first time I sat down at a Pro Tools console, I was like, this is the instrument that was invented for me. You know? It seemed like an instrument to me. Like a whole new thing. Yeah. Do you feel that way when you play on that, or is it just a tool? I mean, I guess it's a tool, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of a means.
That thing you played earlier that you did on that was... Sort of mind opening.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get really sure of myself on how everything stands.
Yeah,
I'm still kind of a witness to the whole phenomena going on, and I know what I do for a living, and what maybe I'm most confident in is playing gigs for people, getting together with guys. Working out songs and playing them for people. But But that's not the only way to do it. This is Watt's way of doing it. So I wouldn't want people to think that's the only way to do it. It's interesting all these approaches people are taking. And when you're in school, things are a lot more social probably than they are musical. So whether you're girly or not, whether you're wearing the right baseball hat or not, you know, it's probably very important when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. You're an older person. Maybe you're interested in sounds and notes.
You know what? It's weird. I really like the idea of somebody taking a piece of music and being all by themselves, and it's like this one-on-one thing, which music's usually communal. I mean, I know that my ideas are not really the normal way. Usually music is a whole lot of people get together and a whole lot of people play together. But I also like the idea of making one thing for one person to listen to when they're in one of those, like, by-themselves moments. It's just a, you know, it's just, I like that idea, too. You know, I mean, I've listened to records that you've made by myself where I'd be listening and I'd go, oh, I feel like you're talking to me. Like, I know what you were saying. I feel like I know what the dynamic... I mean, it's, I may be imagining it, but I like to pursue your lyrical ideas sometimes, which I'm not able to do live, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just another way...
A lot of people think I'm speaking a foreign language.
I saw Green Day in Germany. I swear they were singing in German, but it's not
English
possible,
accent.
Is it?
English accent.
Is that what it was? I'm going, are they?
The Buzzcocks do it. So let's listen to music. Here's it, you know, because it's Pro Tools and stuff and people making music on the computers, a lot of cats, they give me records, right? This guy just handed me his CD at a gig, and his name is Penston. And his... the CD's called P2. I wonder, you know what P2 was? Petra Duo? It's this huge cabal in Italy, a fascist thing.
Oh.
P2 was this mafia, military, government.
Maybe it's just a second record?
But you know, yeah, maybe, yeah. Pro Tools?
Oh.
Like Pro Tools, but it's Pro 2. Or maybe Penston.
Penston 2.
Yeah, maybe.
Second album.
Yeah, second record.
I know, he left me his email, so it says, contact me, Mike Watt. So, but anyway, let's play a song from him. On this one, it's interesting, his credits. He plays JX3P, Mirage, and live PZO drums.
Yikes.
Why, is that scary?
We'll see.
So, you know, this is interesting, right? He didn't have to go to the gatekeeper. Warner Brother Records and Mr. Esrin, please make me a record. Right? He just went for it in his house and then he handed me this CD. So here we are, Watt from Pedro Show.
Screens and lies. It's not the politicians, but the actions by the spies. You should on to kick it like that. shit they did. So I'm gonna put that ass and the evil fool shit on hold.
Now, citizen rule number 2080. Politicians are shady. Some people watch your back because they think that's more crap. I don't doubt it. Look at how they act.
Hey, I'm gonna go on out and call the big boys. So much violence, they think twice. Swear they're going out all day and night. You drive me twice, they know I'm violent, folks.
First of all, tear, now war in Iraq. We're reaching a point where we can't turn back. Let's lose the guns and let's lose the bombs. I've got the corporate contributions that the bills are upon.
Well, I'll be sleeping on your feet until I start to snore. Cause I won't carry guns for an oil war. I said, why I'm moving, listen, we were looking for wine. Peace to the Middle East, peace to Islam.
Now, don't get us wrong, cause we love America. But that's no reason to get hysterical. And lay your norms of cheer up. We ain't waffles, we ain't having it.
In a world going by, it's hard to think right.
Now, how many people must get killed?
Oil families probably still get filled.
How many oil families get killed?
Not a damn one, so what's the deal?
It's time to lead the way and de-escalate. Lose the weapons of mass destruction and the hate. Say, ooh, ah, what's the White House doing? Oh, no. See what they got ruined.
Well, I'm not pro-Bush and I'm not pro-Saddam. We need these fools to remain calm. George Bush, you're looking like Zoolander. Trying to play tough for the camera. Camera.
What am I on? Crazy pills? We gotta stop it. Get your hands out my grandma's pockets. We need healthcare more than going to war. You think it's democracy they're fighting for?
Thank you.
Okay, guys, hold on there. Hold on there. We're having a heavy discussion on keyboard player talk.
Two keyboard players together at the same time.
Yeah.
I never get
and a trippy
endless.
And it's a trippy thing too because they're talking samples. It's not really working the keyboards. I'm talking about samples. Anyway, that was Banyan Live from last month at Deep Piazzas in Long Beach. Before that, we had the new Beastie Boys, World Gone Mad, and started off with Pentrose. No, Penston. Sorry, sorry, Mr. Penston. From his album P2 with the title with the song Gray. And it's Gray with an E. So maybe an English influence, huh?
Pentrose.
Pentrose. Sounds like a motor oil.
Penzoil? I heard George Bush owns a lot of that company.
Penzoil? It's an oil.
So anyway. Yeah, the whole idea of keyboard players, Mary Foran, me and D. Boone didn't know any as boys. Didn't know one who played one.
Well, you were talking about...
Which was why I was very interested in playing with Paul.
When you were talking about being a certain social culture in high school, I remember when I was in high school, people knew that I played, but I wasn't into the... They had like a hierarchy of musicians. You know, there were the cool musicians who played in the cover bands. But I played in a wedding band. So it was like I always got made fun of. You know?
You're relegated to band.
And I was listening to like Elvis and Stax Volt and stuff like that. So and all these other. I didn't get into like Aerosmith or Led Zeppelin or anything until way late. Well, I was always listening to like early Elvis.
I had even worse taste than you. I tell you.
No, I take offense to that because that was fucking great music.
No, I agree.
It was the best. The best. Usually happens when we first start smoking pot, start listening to the heavier rock, I think. Kind of goes with it.
Yeah, that'd be it.
I admit it, I was into the prog.
Prog?
Well, yeah. Some of the prog was.
But we didn't know people who played keyboards, so it was interesting when I met you to do that. Never had played one my whole fucking life. Same with D. Boone. I mean, you know, we were just foreign to it because... maybe because it cost a lot compared to guitars. I mean, we didn't have Fenders, you know. We didn't have the real guitars, so they were really cheap. You could buy them at Thrifty for $14.
And those are real expensive now.
The Fender was like $200 or $300. It was a lot of money in those days. And we didn't know anybody who played Fenders either, so it was the same thing. A keyboard player was like a Fender.
But see, when I was 13, the first investment for keyboards I bought a microphone and a Tremolux amplifier, and I would just stick the mic in whatever piano I could
find. Right on.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but a piano.
I know, and if you didn't have a piano, then I wasn't...
But a piano was something else. We didn't know anybody with one. But we didn't know anybody with Gibsons or Fenders either. I mean, it wasn't just against keyboards. It was just saying...
What do you got in your
anybody
ear?
Anybody with money.
You got some kind of ear thing?
I think it's that big snake. But it was quite interesting. At school, yeah, you know the story. You know, they gave me the clarinet in 7th grade for 10 weeks. And his name was Mr. Luna over here at Dotson, and he said, "You try hard, but you don't have it." So threw me out. And
get off this bus.
In front of everybody. And he said, "You know, you should stop wasting your time and my time and our time." So I never played again in school. I played with D. Boone, you know, after learning off records. So I wasn't really a musician type so much. It was more like friends. We come up the end of the first hour.
Did you more, man?
Yeah.
Mike, you know.
How'd you get music, Jer? That's
me. My brother was in cover bands, and he basically had the band set up in their bedroom, which we both shared. So it wasn't really much room for my existence in the corner. The drums got more room than my bed did. So.
Oh.
And so I had to tolerate
that. You got back
by
playing it?
I basically, it was there. I mean, what can I do? He would get me on Sunday mornings. He'd sneak up on that kit while I was sleeping and start pounding on that thing as hard as he could and wake me up. Yeah, it was always around.
So you're not grateful for him to have the drum set.
Well, we have our differences.
Does he still play?
I would say no. But he did. It was interesting. He had perfect pitch, so he was really, really good at like playing and tuning and very on it.
I hate people with perfect
drum crazy.
But he's the one who kind of got you into playing.
Well,
not
the
really
stuff,
the school.
It was just a matter of the equipment being around. I just grabbed and started playing. I actually started playing bass first. I wasn't very good at it.
Oh, really?
And then.
But you didn't have a school kind of thing.
I had marching band for a couple of years, but I did. Now for the drums, I actually jumped on the drum set in the room first, and then tried.
And then did drums in school.
Well, rudiments, you know, it's pretty straightforward. And then taught myself how to play a drum set. So.
And Pete got taught early.
Yeah.
And Paul got taught early.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Four, so, I started.
I mean,
four.
It's interesting the way different people
come
to this game. What's important, I think, is what you bring to it after.
Yeah.
Right. Just like the language, right? You learn how to talk, but then to write a novel isn't just feeling. You put a little soul and personality.
I know, but you can always get better with music. You know, you're always learning.
You can get better with writing.
You always learn. Well, yeah, writing.
Here, we're at the end of the first hour. Hold tight for hour two. March 25, 2003, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
maybe listeners might want to know what it's like to tour with me. Why don't you tell them?
Yeah, it's like camping.
I fucking love it.
There's no trees. There's a lot of camping.
I thrive on the whole experience. Totally.
Everything. I don't know.
It's a lot easier than weddings.
It's great. It's great to stay in 5-star hotels and all the different.
The sushi platter before the show is probably there.
Oh, yeah.
No, everything is. It's cool. It's done in a way where it's
gladiators.
Yeah, you feel like you're conquering every day, and it's great. You know, you kind of, you know, I look forward to playing the next show.
Yeah,
winning the hearts and minds. I think.
I've never liked off days. Off days.
What do you mean when there's not a gig?
When there's not a gig.
Well, I haven't had one yet. So.
Yeah. Well, I've been
this tour. We're gonna get three.
What?
Yeah, there's to go back to play with the Stooges. I asked these guys. They said they're into it. I said, okay, I'll do it then.
I got my ticket.
But the Stooges are going to play again.
Where are you leaving them?
No, Memphis. North Carolina.
Memphis.
Between Memphis and... Yeah. No, I'll join them in North Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
I'll actually leave them in Memphis.
Yeah, he'll... Yeah.
And then a couple days later, after I play this gig, I practice with those guys for 2 days, and then play the gig on Sunday, and then Monday, I'll rejoin them in North Carolina, in Carrboro. So it's kind of strange. Okay, it'll be 3 days off for them, not really for me. I'll be
not around.
It's kind of wild to get to play with the Ashton Brothers in 80.
Totally.
But I asked them first because my loyalty's to them. They're rolling in the boat with me. So it is, I guess, breaking the mold a little bit to go and do something like that. And I think there's a day off with you, Paul.
Huh?
Yeah, because there's a hell ride between Oklahoma City and Albuquerque.
You know, when we toured together, it was Crimini, DC3, and Firehose. You and I were doing two sets a night.
Yeah.
Every night.
And Kira came.
Whoa.
Did she?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 shows where I'm doing 3 hits.
It might have even been a couple where we did 2 sets, or maybe at 4? No, maybe not on that tour. I remember with Black Flag, you did that a few times.
We're like, yeah, now it's your turn to play with me. Now you play with me. Like, I never get off the stage. Greg was doing that, dude. I remember there was a gig, maybe it was in Pasadena, where it was like Firehose, Criminy, and Dose. And like, I never got off the stage. Now your turn to play with me.
I remember being
most ham bone.
I remember being in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. I was backstage.
West Virginia,
and Henry Rollins. You kept asking me if you could take a shower with me.
Wow,
what is that about?
He was learning new things.
Yeah.
I think he was asking.
Satisfying curiosities. Picking certain pockets.
I considered that a chance that I let pass by.
Yeah. Well, he won't let you forget.
Lucky him.
Extreme.
You know, work somewhere. You know, all capital.
Lucky him.
Nah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I know. He made up with Kira, I guess.
He had her sing.
He had her
just,
sing.
After his benefit.
All those horrible things he said about her.
Well, in the moment, he's written some things about me, too. In the moment, he'd get very hot. But he did this record for these kids.
Right.
Got put in for murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sang a song with Kira. And then I think he did some gigs just recently and had her come and sing.
Yeah, she got up to the Roxy.
Was it the Roxy? Yeah. So he's got a tough exterior, soft inside. So, you know, I was telling you at practice earlier that we do these tour diaries. I guess what Jared's going to hear out this time?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to put myself to the test. I had my computer on last tour, but it's in the hands of my wife now, so she can do her schoolwork, so I'm not going to bring a computer, and I hate typing in the van and once whoever has the computer gets out of the van, it's pretty much glued to their hip, and you never see it again. So.
You got that you right, bro.
I did. I brought my computer last time. I wrote every day but one day, which won't I still actually wrote my whole last week still. The day is almost done. I think there's a paragraph left to write.
Last time, he's like five days behind. Remember that one?
I brought this up because it's a way people can get an insight to how a tour with me is.
It was it was therapy.
You don't always have to wait for a radio show and then I ask, put the guys on the spot. I can't read this stuff. In fact, there's a whole trend going on with the web. I don't know if you guys are aware of this thing called blogs.
Blogs?
Blogs are ways of people putting thoughts. Like, even with this war, there's like some Iraqi guys doing blogs. And a ladies, Muslim lady, doing a blog.
Is that like a log?
Yeah, it's like a log, right?
But it's, what's the B for?
I don't know. It's just, you know, in charge of this terminology stuff.
Computer ease.
Basically, it's like doing a tour spiel.
Yeah,
but these people aren't really on tour, you know, they're living life, they're surviving a war, or they're going to college, or there's the blogs all over the place. And for some reason, people think they have to go to blog sites and do them there, so these guys own all the rights to their spiels. Listen, people, anyone can start a website, you know, write your own. I don't even have to call a blog, call it spiel. What I do.
I remember, still do this, but I remember touring and not staying at a hotel the whole time. We'd just at the end of the night, just like this is what DC3 would say, can anybody put us up? And that was amazing because I know tours where I've stayed in hotels, I would get all isolated. And I would go and stay at people's houses, meet people I never would have met. And remember one time we stayed at a funeral home?
That's the way these guys, right?
Yeah.
Did we use the hotel?
Nope.
Only I do when my wife comes out, but then that's me and that's not the band.
Yeah,
that's
I had a great band.
It's amazing.
I met some cool people.
Did you ask people after the gigs?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we did. Stage.
Sometimes we had some hell rides to the places we were staying at.
It's done very humbly.
For Jacksonville? 15 minutes.
Oh, 15 we'll minute drive, 15 yeah. Minutes.
People think that's crazy.
2 hours and 15 minutes later.
People think it's crazy, but it's incredible.
It's part of the adventure.
Oh, that's fun, man. It's a blast.
Sometimes you stay at some punk crash pad, and there's like
It's a blast.
Sometimes you just don't read it right, you know.
Well, the frat boys, the worst.
The frat boys was terrible because I got kicked out of this guy's bed because he wasn't even staying there, and I just showed up to kick me out. And then he closed his door, and him and his buddies wanted to find some place to do their fucking vacuuming.
That's a bad scene. That usually don't happen. That was a rare scene. Usually
your fucking snorathon.
Yeah, I should have shit in the guy's pillowcase, man. That would have been great.
Good idea, Jared.
You did that one time.
On purpose. One time when Ed from Ohio brought me to his town, you know, where he went to college in Columbus, and all his friends are there, right? It's the first time he's going to play in front of his friends, and I get food poisoning, okay? And he takes me to his friend's house, and I shit the sheets, I throw up everywhere.
And then you can take your pants off for when you're on stage.
Well, that was another tour. That was before I
And right before
this one was kind of embarrassing.
Right,
you know, more than just that, I did it for 3 days. I just got tired of shit in my pants. I said, fuck it, I'm going to ride this out. I just taped
my quad takes a shit.
And you had burned your face really bad. And
that was with you guys.
Damages.
Yeah, that was with you guys. That was the day before the tour, February 87. My head got fired.
See, I had a bad burn. Yeah, that's very, very painful.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
That was a hard
one. Well, there was the one time after the steak. I remember in the tour, one of the tour diaries I was reading, you had eaten some steak right before the
Jimbo's.
Gig.
Yeah, it was when Frank Sinatra died. Because I'm not used to eating really meat on tour. I usually eat soups and salads and real light stuff. And Jimbo cooked up on his roof. He cooked me this big old steak on a queue, and I ate it, and I blew it out on the first song. I blew this thing. And then people were singing, so I went everywhere. Blew the shit right out of my leg. I mean, it didn't really get on me. Anyway. It must have got under his pants. But I blew right out of my leg and on the floor. And I had to do this whole gig. It was opera.
Oh, man.
I think it was with Joe Bison.
Oh, geez.
Probably.
It was backed by Great Force.
We did the opera for four tours. And this is like, I think it was maybe... It wasn't the last one, because Nels was the last one.
Did Max start out the front row a little bit? No.
Were you thinking to yourself, how am I going to top this?
No, no one even knew. No, I just thought, man, I got to just persevere and prevail over the situation.
There's a lot of
done. And no one even knew. But there was lots of mota being smoking and stuff, so maybe that's why.
Good cover.
It's really strange. I was so embarrassed, you know. It was such a hard gig. And then the next day, you know, of course, the New York Times came, and so then it was a big review of the gig and everything, and like, no mention.
No mention.
Good thing you played it off.
Said I was like a cross between Captain Beefheart and Bluto.
Oh.
Yeah, if I would have said something like, "Hey, I just shit my pants."
Plus, he shit on
the
stage.
But you know, they said you're a lot of that stuff. You know, people don't know unless you let them in on it. So, and here they work all week and they're paying good money to see you. And what are you just gonna pop the balloon or something? And I just thought, whoa, I'm in a situation here, and I'm gonna make the best of it. I'm not gonna try to bring people down. It was. I was embarrassed. I mean,
that must have been scary.
I actually died, you know, and at the end of the set, I wanted to do some more songs, and I said, well, this next one's for old Blueface.
Oh, man. Boy.
True story here on what?
Yeah, well, people always thought I had a weird angle on the funk thing, you know. Whether I'm blowing it out, doing operas, or making fun of crooners. It was all an accident. It was all a mistake. It was all so embarrassing.
Yeah, but you know.
Thing. But a lot of people did not know until, later on in the diaries. Yeah. So that's a good thing about the diaries. It enlightens people to certain subtleties that you just can't get, even if you're a willing participant of the gig.
Oh, man, I can't imagine what I would write the day after joining after 6 weeks of my first... I'm going
to
just...
I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot to write about. Just so much. It ain't going to stop. It's going to be hours.
What's life for, but...
I figured I could pull it off until I realized I was singing half of the set today.
Fortunes.
Okay.
It's,
and they're in two blocks of two. So you only have two scary times. And I just need fucking breather anyway. especially, and this is going to be a hard tour for me. You know, last week was really rough on me.
Yeah.
Really rough. I almost was going to have to cut the tour. The sickness came on me really, really hard. So I feel very blessed that I'm back in the game.
You seem better. You seem okay. You feel all right?
Yeah, a little weak. It's kind of hard. It was harder the first practice we did coming back.
Yeah.
But I'm getting stronger.
I called you and I tried to get directions. You said, you've been there. And that was like one time 15 years ago. To really give me directions, so I figured it out.
Didn't I tell you yesterday?
I called Kara.
There you go.
Since then. Yeah, I remember you calling me when I was sick and I didn't have much to say. You know, I was 3 or 4 days and really, that was a hard deal. That was a hard deal. There's certain parts of me, you know, where that illness was. If I get sick there, I have nothing, no strength there, no defense. Really vulnerable. Yeah.
Helen's really, my wife has been really sick the last 6 months, interferon treatment.
Yeah, I talked to her.
It just takes you.
She said, though, she's turned some corners.
She's turned some corners, and the treatment's working. And I've been married 23 years. I tend to go on about my wife sometimes.
So what? She's a great lady. I love her. And it's great that that was good news. That's a heavy disease, too.
It's working. And for all you people out there, it's not a death sentence. They seem like they know what they're starting to get a handle on.
Hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C, this treatment. A lot of people I know have done this treatment, and it's pretty hard, but...
Carla's going through a hell with it,
Yeah, is she?
Yeah, my thing, a little different, but pretty heavy. Pretty heavy thing. In fact, that's what this next piece is about.
Boiling
and, you know, I never thought... it would come on me again, and then last week, you know? So obviously I got to be very, very careful. But Pete, Jerry, you guys got bail now, right? Thanks for coming aboard the show.
No problem.
We'll have you again. Well, in fact, we'll have you after the tour, and we can talk about it. And Paul, thanks.
Since
for
I'm not writing, I guess I can spill the beans.
We're going to have Brother Matt now do the spin cycle.
I know, Brother Matt.
All right, you guys.
We're ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Come with us.
Enjoy.
Conscious.
Thank you. Dan Dan Deliver! Deliver! White, everyone is the plowman. Everyone is the seed. Everyone is the harvest, and everyone yields in the garden of many fields. Everyone is one with one love, and one love is one with everyone. Stand and deliver. Else's pleasure and gain.
Man, look, back way. What I deal with? You have come with them new American States to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Talk to what she changed the times and came the police. So don't be caught on a dead end street in the middle of the night, but you're gonna get beat. Some of you think times have changed. The players are different, but the game is made the same. I can see it so clearly. I've seen it before because I know my history. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century, and I don't give a damn if you can't get with me. The missionary man, he made me well. Well, he called heaven, that's my hell. See, I got to tell the truth. I'm a blues singing brother from the land of Duke. Now don't be confused. Although I may be rapping in this hardcore blues, Hollywood said that it ain't. Give me a $500,000 to change it, but it can't. They're trying to treat me how to sing the blues. They must have thought I was some kind of fool. Blues is a music that's free. It's from the soul, and you know it's just something you can feel. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century, and I don't give a damn if you can't get with me. Get with me. Get with me. Get with me. Mississippi got my feet real muddy. Two step on your blue suede shoes. Now sit yourself down and listen to the sound. But the real motherfucker is going down. Now I'm a speaker to the Hollywood chef. I can never sell my soul to the devil. And I don't give a damn what the Fury say. They wouldn't know the blues if I did them anyway. I dare them to say that it's dead. Unarmed but be shot in the head. Blues is a hellish experience. A cry for complete deliverance. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. And I don't give a damn if you can't get it. You dig Albert County, the buddy guy. But it's time for Timmy to be pushed aside. So the record to sound like me. And not how anybody want me to be. I'm too young to be in a museum. Like the rest where nobody can see it. We all have a piece of the puzzle. And to bring my force has been a lifelong struggle. You wonder why it took me so long. Because my skin is brown, my mind is strong. Every time I create a new hit, Jack and his crew try to copy it quick. Together like Boston, sucking, and trying to steal my cause. You think you got it, you know it, but it sounds so thick. The Jack and his crew can't fade the shit. Gotta take what you get, give it back to my beat. Jack, quick, Jack, be nimble. Jack, stop, or what will we have? I think you got it, and it makes me mad. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. And I don't give a damn if you can't get put down. Hey. First century, and I don't give a damn if you can't get with me.
Thank you much, Brother Matt. That was a Waylon spin cycle, but it's kind of an unusual situation having those visitors today.
Yeah, it's cool having them, though. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool characters.
Those are the cats I will be sharing the boat with for the next 2 months. They are great guys. And first time they've been here, so that was a trip for them.
Yeah.
They were into it. They were very much into it. So coming on the end here, the second hour of the March 25, 2003 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. March 25th, 2003. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part 26 of the fourth tower of Inverness.
What does it say?
While most interpreters of the apocalypse consider the various beasts described therein as typical of evil agencies, this viewpoint is the inevitable result of unfamiliarity with the ancient doctrines from which the symbolism is derived. Because religious ascetics looked upon the universe itself as an evil and ensnaring fabrication, they also came to regard its very creator as a weaver of delusions. Thus the dragon of cosmic power came to be personified as a beast of horror and destruction, seeking to swallow up the immortal part of human nature. Wow, that's heavy. Well, as far as I can figure it, it's Dr. Missoula's dragon, all right.
Yep, it sure is.
Well, apparently, Dr. Missoula was attempting to manifest that part of himself that lay buried deep within the dark corridors of man.
And he succeeded.
That symbol became a physical creation. Yes, little Frida, the power and energy of a symbol is something we have yet to fully grasp.
But it kind of looks like Dr. Missoula's dragon has gotten out of hand.
I'm afraid so. In fact, if he's not careful, it's that very symbol that may destroy him.
I've heard stories of mythological beasts that have existed on other planes, and in the past, they visited this planet.
Well, from what I can put together at this moment, these beings that exist on other planes have a direct influence upon us, releasing information, inventions, and so on when the time is right. Such as an author who says, "It's as though I didn't write this, it just came through me." As someone once said, it's like having your fingers plugged into the sky.
Well, enough of that. How are we going to help Dr. Missoula?
Well, I guess the best thing is to talk to him and we'll just offer our help. He has the most incredible equipment. Hey, look at this weird old machine. What do you think it does?
Wait, I'll see.
It also manifests symbols from Dr. Missoula.
Really? You mean more creatures?
Yes. Hooved creatures. Creatures that sometimes stand on their hind legs and sometimes run on all fours.
What do you see? What do you see?
A horrible creature. Like a giant spider with arms like spaghetti.
Yes, the spaghetti-armed spider with a woman's head.
Dr. Missoula has a lot in him.
Well, we all have. It's a matter of whether we care to cultivate it or not. Dr. Missoula is an alchemist and is liable to try most anything by the looks of things.
Hey, come and look at this door over here.
Well, he certainly has enough locks and chains and bolts on the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You're going to open it.
Yeah? I think I know what's on the other side. See?
A tunnel. Right through the mountain. No, it's not a tunnel. It's natural. It's part of a natural cave.
Do you want to investigate?
Yeah, but let's leave the door open just in case.
Good idea.
Hey, it leads upwards.
Do you know whose head that spider was wearing?
Oh, no, it was unfamiliar to me.
Well, it was his wife.
His wife? I didn't know he had one.
Yeah, they didn't get along so good. She finally left him.
Yeah, well, that figures. Well, I guess with a twist of the imagination, Dr. Mazzulla is able to manifest parts of people he's known in the past. Why, he could even...
Yeah?
He could even possibly create every person here in Inverness, couldn't he? Little Frida? Little Frida? She's gone. Vanished. Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore?
So, it appears that Dr. Mazzulla's dragon is, in reality, Dr. Mazzulla's dragon. As we look in beneath the surface of Inverness, we find Jack Flanders standing alone, in his normal pose of absolute bewilderment, attempting to understand why little Frida has vanished into thin air once again.
Some things are beginning to make sense. All those creatures, that horrible spidery creature in the maze, those creatures that danced by the fire, and those creatures that stood on their hind legs and then ran off on all fours, all of these beasts come from the depths of Dr. Mazzulla's own being. Just as every man has ogres he wishes not to expose, Dr. Mazzulla has chosen to deliberately reach inside himself and bring them into the light. Speaking of light, with little Frida gone, I can't see a thing. I better retrace my steps and return to the lab. So the only problem now seems to be how many of these creatures have gotten out of hand, like his dragon. Wait a minute. I just thought of something. Dr. Mazzulla could manifest the likeness of Meanie Eeny, and that might explain who was chasing me with a meat cleaver. But what would be the motivation? I'm no threat. Am I? Holy Toledo! What's that?
Meanwhile, back at the Inverness Mansion.
Why, Dr. Mazzulla, what's wrong?
What? Oh,
you jumped.
I must have dozed off for a second.
Really? But tell me, Dr. Mazzulla, just what are you going to do about your dragon?
I put him back where he come from.
But he's grown enormous.
It's those vibrations from that temple, the cave, draws them in, and he feeds off them and gets fatter by the day.
Then I should think you should do something and do it quickly.
I'll get them this time. At the far end of his cave, near the main laboratory's back door, I've installed an alarm system. When he gets near enough, the one-way beam will be broken. And then the cave becomes like a giant hellhole of walloping enormous speakers filled with insane laughter. The dragon can't stand being laughed at, and he will rush to the source, and that's when I turn all the power on him.
You feel that will do the trick?
Who knows? If not, we've got a problem. Hark! My vest pocket alarm announces the arrival of the dragon. I've got him this time. Barbecue dragon burger tonight.
Do be careful, Dr. Mazzulla. Be careful.
Meanwhile, back at the tunnel.
I've got to get out of here before that laughter drives me mad. Oh, there's the lab door up ahead. I should be able to... Oh, my God, the door just slammed shut. It's bolted. I'm stuck out here. What's that? Oh, my God, it's the dragon. It's coming. Let me in. Let me in. Oh, Lord, no one can hear me with all this racket. It's some kind of a machine. Yikes, what's going on?
And inside the laboratory, Dr. Mazzulla arrives.
Got him this time. Everything was set on automatic. All that it took was for the invisible beam to be broken. Now I'll crank up the gain to full intensity. That ought to wither him down to size. Yes, there we go.
Dr. Mazzulla, Dr. Mazzulla, stop! Jack's caught in that tunnel with the dragon.
Just as I was...
I've decided...
Where are you?
But hurry, Dr. Missoula. Otherwise, Jack will become merely a symbol in your unconscious.
A disturbing thought, my dear. My humanitarian instincts are aroused. Quick, pull that lever there and open the door while I reverse the game.
Jacko, 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 let me give you a hand.
You can't even see with all this smoke.
Quick, little Frida, quick. Close the door before the dragon.
Aha, too late. In stomps the dragon, furious, hissing smoke and bellowing fire. Dr. Mazula's machines are ripped from their bolts and thrown across the room like paper tigers.
Destroying the lab, Dr. He's destroying the lab, Dr. Mazula.
Accurate way, put him to freedom. But I'll cut him off again.
Reverse your module, Mazula.
It's about to go. Let me see here.
Here he comes. This is it. Let's go.
No, Mazula. Let's split.
But my lab. All these years. No, I'll fight to the end. On second thought, you're right. How do you say that? Feet, do your stuff. All my railroads, alchemists, equipment, my work, my secrets being smashed to smithereens.
Stay back, Missoula. There's little we can do.
Give me a clobber. I'll give that lizard a whack on the skull you'll never forget.
We've got to get out of this place. This whole thing is going to explode any second.
Good idea. Come on, Missoula.
Some dragon you are.
Quick,
yeah.
Quick,
yeah.
Go up.
Come on, Missoula. Come on. All right. All right. The dragon that may not consider the dragon that...
Hey, where's little Frida? Isn't she with us?
Can't tell. She's...
Little
she's
Frida.
She's so invisible.
Little Frida. I'm going back.
What are you going to look for? You can't even see her.
Look, I've got to find her. I'll...
Good grief! Quick, up the stairs. Don't let that stuff get to you.
But little Frida's in there.
Come on, hurry.
Okay. I guess it doesn't make much difference now.
Later that day...
Jack, is there no way of being certain about little Frida?
Not until the radiation settles. And there's still the danger of our dissolving into symbols.
That poor child. To think that she may just be a memory. And how long will this radiation unpleasantry exist?
It's impossible to say. Dr. Mazula is out by the cave where the temple once stood.
Where the temple once stood?
Yes. I guess the blast was so strong it came roaring out of the cave and just took the temple with it.
Oh, that ancient symbol of...
Well, at least it didn't blow the mountain apart. And Inverness, too, for that matter.
Oh, I don't know what to say. He's such a boggle-brain blunderer. There'll be no more alchemy practiced on these grounds, my God! Jives! Jives! More tea! Oh, I must control myself. Well, Jack, your visit to Inverness has been a rather sad experience, I'm afraid.
Well, we can't be certain about little Frida. Perhaps somehow she did escape.
Yes, God willing. But for that matter, the dragon may have escaped too.
Oh, I doubt it.
And the Madonna Vampira. She is gone, isn't she?
Well, that's the one thing I don't understand, Auntie. I saw her body lying dead in that Lotus Land. And I saw Lord Jowls alive. Somehow I've got to get back there.
Yes.
But how? I don't know. It makes me so weary just to think about all that I went through the first time I found that land and its strange lotus jukebox.
How soon will you set forth?
As soon as I've rested. As soon as I've rested tomorrow. As soon as I've rested. Tomorrow?
As soon as you've reread the script, at any rate.
As soon as I've rested. Tomorrow.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes. I'm going to need a lot of nickels. Maybe a couple of hundred. It's an offering to the jukebox.
I'll assault my piggy bank immediately.
Good.
Tea, Lady Giles, Master Jack, is served.
Thank you, Giles. Giles.
Yes, ma'am?
Will you fetch my favorite razorback piggy bank?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Now, Jack, we will be able to shake out enough nickels and dimes to easily sponsor your expedition.
There's one other thing I need from you, Auntie.
Would you have some sugar?
Truth.
One lump or two.
Auntie, I need the truth.
Ah. Well, I can tell you what little I know, but whether that's true...
That will be fine, Auntie.
Ah. Well, perhaps if you told me what you do know, I could fill in on what you don't know.
Well, I know about all of us being together in Atlantis. I know that everyone, with the exception of myself, has furthered his awareness every incarnation.
Yes.
And that we've all known each other in past lives, again and again. And now I understand that because of Dr. Mazzulla's creations, I was able to withstand the pressures and strange madness within that fourth tower.
Very good.
But, Auntie, why all this? It's far more than just the task of finding Lord Jowls and our being together once more, isn't it?
Your favorite razorback piggy bank, Lady Jowls.
Thank you, Jowls. Now, Jack, let's see what we can shake out of this plump plaster porker.
Auntie, first, please answer my question.
Question? Ah, Jack, a buffalo nickel.
Auntie.
I just love money, don't you? Ah, look, a Roosevelt dime. My, my, my.
Is it true what they do? Is it true what they do to you? Is it true what they say? Is it true what they say to you? Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na na na. Na na na. Na 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 na. Is it true what they do? Is it true what they say to you? Is it true what they say? Is it true what they do to you? Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na na na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na na na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na na na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
won't be long. Man, it won't be long. Roundhead, you can't say you burn me. I don't mean maybe. I don't know what you are, but I wear the sky like metal. Roundhead, Roundhead, by no means the fucking bullshit dream. I know why I am here. We'll be right back.
welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your rear plugs, put in your eye shades, you know where to put the board. Hey, you getting drunk, so sorry, I got you stuck. Hey, you smoking Mother Nature, this is a bust. They don't hung up, Mr. Normal, don't try to gain my trust. Cause you ain't gonna follow me any of those ways, although you think you must.
Touch me, heal me, heal me.
Watt from Pedro show. Was that bizarre or what? That was a... It was a ska version of Tommy. Well, there's a whole album of it. I just played the last tune. We're not going to take it listening to you. A band called Ye Olde English. Kind of a prog. Studio prog. A friend of Perks gave it to me years ago. Very strange. Before that, Symphony for Dog by Foot. It was a 23-minute tour de force. Some bizarre tunes on this Watt from Pedro show. Foot is a New York City band comprised of Jimbo, Don Fleming, Thurston Moore. And that's the only album they ever made. Before that, we had Red on Red by Mr. Right and Mr. Wrong, which are the Wright brothers who make up No Means No, from our neighbors to the north, Canada. Only Is It True by... What's that?
Only so many songs can be sung with two lips, one mouth, and one tongue.
Yeah.
No Means No.
No Means No. It's a trippy record. It's called One Down, Two to Go. It's got, the drummer brother in the white Cupid tuxedo with his little bow and heart, and bass brother with the priest suit, black leather hat, and shotgun. Is It True by T-Rex, from a bootleg, unreleased stuff, and demos, whatever. That's for Paul. We were talking about T-Rex earlier. And we started off the third hour with part 26 of the Fourth Tower of Inverness. Adventure continues. The dragon, Dr. Missoula. They fell off the script there a little bit.
Yeah, it seemed like they had some fun making that show.
Yeah, absolutely. But still, I think 7 or 8 more episodes. Probably have to wait till after tour, since we'll get one more show in, I think, before I leave. Petra wants to come do her thing.
Cool.
Here's something Petra's on. We'll leave you with one more track. This is Danny Frankel, a drummer, L.A. drummer. He's a cool cat. This is off his solo record called New Thing on Jupiter. And the tune is, well, God, it's from 5 or 6 years ago. But the tune's called Purple Go-Go Fruit, Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you. Hot from Pedro Show. That's a cool little tune.
Yeah.
Purple Go-Go Fruit. Danny Frankel. It's in season, right? Yeah, I think it's in season two. One more show before tour starts. Petra's going to come play her interpretation of the Who sellout a cappella.
Cool.
And I want to thank you, Brother Matt, for essential assistance and your righteous spins. And, of course, the Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point. Yeah, Badass Pat. And the Segerman, Paul Rossler, of the Sword of Segerman. That's great of those guys. I'm going to spend some time with them there on some tour. But still another week. Hectic to get everything together before my last plummet.
Boat's running cool.
Boat, got the boat today. All ship shape, shake down. Ready, good. She's coming on 13 years.
This is tour 50.
For me, yeah. It's only like tour 22 for her, but
miles.
Still some miles. It's not the years, it's the miles. Somebody once told me. Anyway, everybody, it's crazy time, so work for peace somehow. Okay. March 25, 2003 edition, Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.